Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Tonight on Revolt Black News Weekly.
We've been here for 3 days. We died of cold.
The much less reported African stuck at the border of a violent invasion and one refugee's tale of racism and resilience. And the WNBA's most dominant center is locked up abroad. Will Brittany Griner's release from Russia's reins come quickly and at what cost? Then, who is the first black female justice headed to the highest court? And does Ketanji Brown Jackson have a special responsibility to black America?
It's not about one person and her job. It's about my people.
And the black hair therapy crisis. We get to the root of the issue that's stressing out hairstylists and barbers.
When we're in the chair or not in the chair, we're having these conversations about our mental health.
Plus, Madea is officially out of retirement.
Hallelujah!
Our one-on-one with Tyler Perry. And Riri and Rocky take over Fashion Week as her baby bump steals the spotlight.
And Rihanna, Marigrazia, 1 year, please.
All that and more as the Black News Revolution starts right now. Hey everyone, I'm Naima Abdullahi. We kick things off as we head overseas for a deeper look at the Russian-Ukraine conflict and the crisis facing Africans caught in the crosshairs. Now, their struggle to cross the border to safety is tonight's top story.
Let us go! Let us go! Let us go home!
We are not allowing any black people to enter inside the gates.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine is casting a shadow on Africans fleeing the country.
We've been here for 3 days. We died of cold.
Viral moments of thousands fleeing for safety has pulled at the heartstrings of the world as tensions intensify, unfolding on social media.
The whole discrimination was mostly from the law enforcement officials.
Alexander Somto is a Nigerian student who fled Ukraine. He told Revolt Black News that he experienced discrimination during his 500-plus mile journey to Berlin.
When we protested against it, I started telling them that if they are going to do this, they should know that this is a war crime. I wasn't expecting them to be discriminating against those that are not looking like them.
The emotional scenes playing out as hundreds seek answers and help.
Well, it's been a very chaotic situation for Nigerians living in Ukraine. We're looking at about 7,600 Nigerians and more than 5,600 are students. So for us, we're dealing with very young people that went in search of education, and most of them are medical students. So it's been very traumatic. It's been very chaotic.
Nigeria's special advisor to the president on diaspora affairs, Abike Dabiri Arewa, is helping to bridge the gap to find solutions.
The president immediately gave his full support to have them back home.
On the ground, Jeffrey Kawazi is the project manager for Each One Teach One, helping students like Alexander bus to Berlin.
In terms of my organization, it's been around 250 people. They have come to us, with more coming every day, actually every night or so, because we're there 24 hours working in shifts in order to be able to receive people. So most of the people, I would say most of the black people coming to Berlin, the vast majority are going through our organization.
Going the extra mile to save lives, Nigeria's president stepping in to help students escape the ongoing violent invasion.
Let us be orderly. You are great Nigerians. You are back home. We do not have anything to be afraid of anymore. You're all welcome.
It's hard to remove myself from this story because I know what it's like to be a refugee, an African refugee. The war in Somalia left my family displaced, and we found our refuge in Kenya before we moved to the United States. So when I see these images, I see myself. And the refugee controversy is something we've dealt with even within the U.S. borders, too. Remember Hurricane Katrina?
So many of these people, almost all of them that we see, are so poor and they are so black. And this is going to raise lots of questions.
Victims in New Orleans were labeled as refugees. Now, they might have been seeking refuge, but they were evacuees and flood victims who were citizens of the United States, meaning they could rightfully relocate anywhere in America. But what really surfaced was the connotation of refugee for a majority black city with a high concentration of poverty. Part of the problem is also how the crisis is being covered with explicit and implicit bias. Take a listen.
This isn't a place, with all due respect, like Iraq or Afghanistan that has seen conflict raging for decades. You know, this is a relatively civilized, relatively European, I have to choose those words carefully too, city where you wouldn't expect that or hope that it's going to happen.
Now, to call one group of refugees civil leaves an assumption that typical refugees are uncivil.
I remember they punched a certain black guy, a policeman in Ukraine. Punch a certain black guy for nothing. He was shocked for nothing. Yes, so like I said earlier on, they consider white people before considering black people.
We pray this crisis does not claim any more lives and that everyone in Ukraine can safely escape the invasion, something everyone deserves. And if we all answer this call to be humanitarians, let's also remember the root word, to be human first.
Seven-time WNBA All-Star and two-time Olympic gold medalist Brittany Griner is in Russian custody.
As tensions mount in Ukraine, so are concerns for WNBA star Brittany Griner. The Phoenix Mercury Center is entangled in controversy and currently detained after Russian customs officials reportedly found hash oil in her luggage. Here to join me virtually for an interview in Italy, Shay Kelly, player for Fila San Martino women's basketball. Now, we're seeing all the support pouring in for Brittany right now. Thank you so much for joining us. What's going through your mind as you're seeing everything?
I'm really terrified for her. It's very concerning just being overseas. You know, we're usually by ourselves. You're so far away from support, from family. So being arrested in another country has to be, you know, terrifying. So my thoughts and prayers are with her, and I hope that things get resolved. I know we don't have a lot of information on it, but it's just, you know, it's really scary.
Many people were shocked by the time they heard about Brittany's situation that she was already detained for several weeks. What's your reaction to that?
That's mind-blowing. To me, when it kind of hit social media and they said in February, so obviously she had been detained for weeks before anyone even knew. And that's kind of the whole thing with the social media. If we didn't have that, we didn't even know that she was detained or anything was going on with her. Obviously, I'm sure her team and people close to her knew, but no one else knew. And I think that's such a huge thing, because imagine if this was an NBA player or someone overseas playing, I think it would have been blown up a lot more. And I think that it should be, because we don't really know the details about what's going on with her to the full extent.
Can you give us an insight as to who Brittany is? We're seeing her in the headlines right now, but we also want to capture her accomplishments and what she really represents to the basketball league.
She's one of the best centers in the league. So she brings so much to the game, dunking the basketball, you know, just her presence on the court and just her, you know, her heart. Some of my friends know her personally. She's really a big icon for the WNBA. So just having that impact on the league and then having this happen, I think, you know, it kind of hits home, because it's someone that you've played with, someone you've been around. So just knowing what she's going through, it's really disheartening.
Take us through that mindset of it being so scary. You're in a foreign country. It operates differently. It has its own set of rules. Like, tell us what the mindset is when you go from your homeland to another place just to chase your dreams.
Well, for women, unfortunately, this is where we make our money, playing basketball. So it's kind of, we're forced to come over here and do this if we want to get paid better than we do in the States. So just coming overseas, and you have to be tough mentally. Like you said, we're so far from family, and we're far from our friends. So it can be difficult. You feel alone at times. So it's just, you know, it's really just mentally, it can be exhausting when you're so far from home.
Has it crossed your mind in the last few weeks, like, maybe it's time for me to go back home, like, just to take a break from everything? Has that thought crossed your mind?
Not this year so much in Italy. Things have been, you know, okay here. But I was in Israel last year, and they were shooting. I had literally left like 2 days before they started launching rockets into Israel. So that's something that, you know.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Terrifies me because I had teammates there. They had to go into to the bunkers. And so that's something that, you know, you do think about your safety when you're in these situations.
Shay, thank you so much for adding context to this conversation, for providing awareness to what's going on and what athletes go through overseas. And we're going to continue praying for Brittany for her safe release. And we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back. Coming up, we explore the sanctity of the salon and why some say it's the new therapy for Black men and women.
Junior, there are unwritten rules in the barbershop, and the first rule is you never switch chairs. Am I right?
Yeah.
The barbershop was built on loyalty. That's how it became the cornerstone of the community. Am I right?
True.
A scene out of Black-ish and the sacred spot for many Black men and women, the Magic Shop. Over time, barbers and hairstylists have become somewhat like therapists to their clients in the Black community. Here to talk about the hairstylist's roles in Black mental and emotional health, entrepreneur and barber Stefan, aka Step the Barber, hairstylist and beauty influencer C. Scott, also known as Main Doll, licensed therapist Amber D., and our very own Kennedy Rue, getting to the root of the discussion. Thank you all for joining us today. A new law in Tennessee is now requiring hairstylists to know the signs of domestic violence by taking a one-hour free training. What do you think about this law that's happening and how it ties in with the experience that you notice in salons and barbershops? Stefan?
I just wonder how, when you make something a law, typically there's a penalty. And so I'm just wondering how responsible barbers and hairstylists will become in the situation where maybe they don't notice the signs and it's not reported. It's an incredible amount of responsibility to be placed on someone that may not know the specifics and the ins and outs. But on the other hand, I do understand how important it is to, if you see something, say something, you can help save a life. So there's a little bit of, you know, the yin and yang when it comes to that situation. It's very touchy.
And C. Scott, for you, you're there to provide a service. You're also listening. How do you balance between the two as a hairstylist?
Well, me and my clients have developed a relationship, so it's more like a sisterhood. So to his point, I do agree with it. Like, it's like it can be heavy to have that responsibility on you, but when you do have that relationship with your clients, or it's like that's something that you will notice or you hope not to look past.
Being a barber specializing in women's short hair, women come in and get their hair cut for all types of reasons. They could be dealing with alopecia, but one of the most recent situations, there was a woman who wanted to get her hair cut by me, and she said she was tired of her husband using her hair as a weapon against her. Mm-hmm. And she spoke about how he would drag her around the house by her hair. Oh, wow. And so I had to step out of my position as a barber at that moment and just ask her, you know, do you think that by cutting your hair that this is something that could further anger him? Mm-hmm. And going back to the Tennessee law, just asking the question, what responsibility do I bear then? Do I have to report this? Or even family getting too much involved in it can become dangerous to that family member. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about a hairstylist or someone like that, so.
I think I was maybe like 18 and I had a client who, she told me that coming to get her hair done was her only escape. Wow. And she was like, my boyfriend actually beats on me and he only allows me to go outside rather to take the kids to the bus stop or for me to go get my hair done, but I have to come right back in after that. And that was like, wow. Like I would have never known. So it can be a big responsibility, but with it being so much of a sisterhood and me loving my clients the way that I do, I just try to be there.
What about you? Absolutely. I mean, I think Black women, our relationship with our hair is so nuanced in a way where other people can't really understand the depths of that relationship. Sometimes there's adoration and love for our hair. Sometimes there's resentment and frustration when it comes to our hair. So I think just dealing with the range of that emotions attached to our hair and not really having that weight on your shoulders anymore was a huge impetus behind why I cut mine off.
Stefan, you specialize in short haircuts. What is that emotional journey like for women as they're sitting in that chair?
Well, it's funny because sometimes they're scared. Sometimes they're excited. All the time they're nervous. What I found myself doing lately is making them a part of the process versus just sitting in the chair and me doing the entire cut. Whether they're cutting locks or long, beautiful tresses, I just grab a section, I hand them the shears, and I let them do the first cut. And the expression on their face when they do it, I'm allowing them to free themselves from this. And,
so you turned it into an experience.
Right. Yeah. And so I've seen everything from laughs to tears. I keep a box of tissue right there at my station just in case.
I love that you guys are sharing this information. You're easy to access. Most of us typically go get our hair done or going to the barber or things like that. And so just by simply asking those questions, how are you doing? Or is it okay? Do you think this is safe? It's a great opportunity to see kind of like what's going on. I do think that it is a lot on you to bear that to have to like be mandated reporters. But I also kind of understand you're on the front line. I think it's like 11% of Blacks don't even have insurance. So we understand that therapy and mental health can kind of be expensive. You know, coming to see a therapist might be $150. A lot of people don't have that. So I can go into the barber, get my hair done, you know, and talk about my problems. But at a certain point, you do have to say, okay, this is beyond me. I think that you should reach out to have some type of resources.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that in our community, we have done so well at portraying an image that everything is fine, whether that be the truth or not. So I think that there is power and vulnerability in those moments that we share with our hairstylists, with our barbers, if we don't have a therapist. So I think that the more we talk about it, the more comfortable we get with having these tough conversations, the more we normalize being vulnerable and opening ourselves up to this sort of thing.
According to Behind the Chair, 1 in 5 hairstylists suffer from anxiety disorder. Are hairstylists equipped to handle their clients' mental and emotional dilemmas, and how can this impact their mental well-being as well?
I think that as a stylist, you know your zone of genius, right? You didn't go to school to be a therapist. You're not trained. So I think that, like I said, it is a great, you're the first line of defense, but once you hear those things, being able to give those resources to your clients and being able to say, hey, I experienced something like that before, or I know someone that experienced like that before, and here are the resources that I can give you that can possibly help you in that same situation. Like the girl you said, that was the only time that she got a chance to get out was to get her hair done. You may be the only person that even can help her get those resources.
What about you? How does it impact your mental health, and what do you do?
Sometimes I do get anxiety. Some clients have gave me some slight anxiety. Getting off, I definitely want to just ride home in complete silence. And then I do yoga. So I'm really practicing resting and taking care of myself.
As a therapist, I have to see a therapist because seeing clients is heavy. But I'm trained in that. I think it's super important for you as hairstylists and barbers to be able to have a safe place for you to unpack all of that you just had to endure yourself, because it's a lot.
I think that it's about the stigma attached to being vulnerable. Yes. And I think
I highly agree.
It's so true. And I think it's so much easier to open up, to relate to a friend, a peer, somebody on your level where you feel like they can understand you, as opposed to somebody you feel like is maybe judging you, mm-hmm. or
doesn't
somebody
share.
You feel doesn't share, or yeah. maybe you feel like someone's diagnosing you, but right. conversations like this are so necessary, especially on this platform, mm-hmm. because we should be having these conversations with one another as well as a therapist.
Data from the American Psychiatric Association shows that only 2% of psychiatrists and 4% of psychologists are Black. So when we look at the comfort level of, you know, a person of color saying, I feel more comfortable pouring myself to my hairstylist than a therapist, kind of tell us about where those boundaries lie with resources that are out there where they can talk to someone who looks just like them.
So you have resources like mine, you have resources like Black Female Therapists, Loveland Foundation, that are paying for therapy for you. So you don't even have to go through, you know, you don't have to worry about how do I pay for it. We have resources now that are paying, that are giving access to people that low-income people, or even not, because, I mean, mm-hmm. you can have a job, and $150 a session is a lot. It adds up, you know, every time.
So therapy, sometimes, I look at it like instructions. Sometimes they go back into your childhood, your past, and help you work through some of those things, because those things kind of help shape who we are today. Mm-hmm. So just giving you some different tools, techniques, different ways to look at situations, conflict resolution, all of those different things. Just great, great tools. And for people who think they don't need it, I would say find a therapist that may do a free session for you, the first one. And just, you'd be surprised.
It's so necessary that when we're in the chair or not in the chair, we're having these conversations about our mental health, about what our actual realities look like, so we can do something about them.
Stefan, C. Scott, Kennedy, Amber D., thank you all for being here and for sharing your thoughts. All right, when we come back, Kennedy brings us the entertainment headlines that has y'all talking. That's next.
Welcome back to Revolt Black News Weekly, as we catch up with the stars who are making headlines, from Zoe's perfect rendition of Catwoman to Rihanna's fashion-forward road to motherhood. It's time for your weekly entertainment remix. Rihanna the fashion killer is right.
And Rihanna, my regards, 1 year, please. Thank you.
Draped in sheer black, the fabulously Fenty mom-to-be was a rock star at Paris Fashion Week, proudly showing off her growing baby bump. Rih and ASAP are expecting their first child together, which is due in a few months. And equally as fashionable and pretty in pink, Zendaya was draped in head-to-toe fuchsia for her latest stylish outing in the City of Lights, taken in the Valentino show during Paris Fashion Week. Those are fighting words. From inside the Gucci Mane versus NBA YoungBoy beef. Here's how this one breaks down. YoungBoy basically posted a diss track coming for Gucci Mane and a number of hip-hop artists, including his reported nemesis, Lil Durk. Word is, Durk is rumored to be collaborating with Gucci.
I think he mad at me.
That did not sit well with Gucci Mane, who came back swinging with this response track, Publicity Stunt.
Why you just publicity? Is you in the streets or in the is you my fan or my enemy? My money too grown to be kidding with. I beat it with.
all just get along, shaking my head. Hip Hop for Peace Town Hall was the place to be in Los Angeles. Hip hop artists and activists from Snoop to Blac Chyna were on hand for a call to action, bringing together the largest gathering of hip hop artists in recent years, community leaders, and elected officials to address the recent spike in gun violence in hip hop culture and call for peace. The event was held on March 9th to honor and celebrate the accomplishments of Notorious B.I.G. She shade watching ya. Once the grin, I'm in game begin.
First I talk about how I dress is this and diamond necklaces. When I think about Biggie or Tupac, I think, damn, we lost some great voices that were gonna lead us into a proper direction through the vehicle of hip hop.
He had so much more to do, so much more to create as an artist, as an entertainer, as a rapper, as a hip hop icon. How you doing, Yay?
Kanye and his so-called Kim clone? Social media was going nuts after Ye was snapped grabbing the assets of his new flame, Chaney Jones, who's been kind of disrespectfully tagged as Kim Kardashian's lookalike. What do y'all think? Hit us up on Insta, Facebook, and Snap.
The theme of the film is eerily on point for the times that we're living in right now. And I mean, you know, I know it's a complicated time, but I really, really, really hope that people are able to go see it in the cinemas.
Nice ring.
Kravitz, the Catwoman? Zoe taking a page out of Halle Berry's playbook, rocking the clinging suit in The Batman, which is still topping the box office.
Who are you under there?
Zoe, who stars with Robert Pattinson, is also reaping the benefits of sweet revenge, opening up about being rejected for the 2015 Batman incarnation, The Dark Knight, because of her skin tone, telling The Observer, "Being an actor and being told at that time that I wasn't able to read because of the color of my skin and the word urban being thrown around like that, that was what was really hard about that moment." The Zoe train is not stopping anytime soon. She'll take the reins to host SNL.
The Lord God Almighty,
mm-hmm.
He can turn water into wine.
Yes, he is.
I got to go to the liquor store to get mine. Won't somebody praise him?
She's back. Tyler Perry brings Madea out of retirement for a Madea homecoming, which is still trending hot on Netflix.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
Hallelujah!
I wanted to make people laugh, and you know, my next thing to make people laugh will probably be a Joe movie, so we'll see.
And we wanted to take a moment to remember comedian Johnny Brown, who provided so many classic moments as the beloved building superintendent Nathan Bookman on the 70s comedy Good Times. His character was such a beloved part of the culture. Janet Jackson, who co-starred as abused child Penny Woods, paid tribute on Twitter, writing, "Such loving memories of our time together. You were so full of laughter and forever smiling. Always so sweet and so kind to me. I will love you and miss you." Johnny passed away at the age of 84 last week. We'll be right back.
It's my honor to introduce to the country the distinguished jurist, Judge Ketanji Jackson.
President Joe Biden making the case for his pick to serve on the highest court in the land. Welcome back. Later this month, the president's nominee for the Supreme Court will face confirmation hearings. And if confirmed, Ketanji Brown Jackson will become the first Black female jurist to serve on the nation's highest court. So as we celebrate Women's History Month, just who is this nominee? And will she have a special responsibility to Black Americans who have suffered the greatest injustices in this country?
The United States of America is the greatest beacon of hope and democracy the world has ever known.
She has served at about three different levels of the judiciary. She's been a federal defender. She's worked on the United States Sentencing Commission, was a former clerk herself, double Ivy, if that matters to you. This is someone with incredible credentials.
Thank you, Senator. Let me just say that my training was similar to yours.
I've always kind of existed in predominantly white spaces, so I've had to constantly show up as different versions of myself. And to be honest with you, I feel bad for me because, like, in a way, like, I have been desensitized when learning about this nation's history. It never dawned on me, like, oh, like, there could be a Black Supreme Court justice one day. And not that I didn't think it was possible, but I guess just because of the way things always were, I never really thought about it.
When you look at the reason why President Biden nominated a Black woman to the Supreme Court, you have to go back to the campaign trail.
We are putting together a list of a group of African-American women.
He had a whole series of problems and issues concerning his record with the Black community. So it was always a political ploy to get Black votes. I think President Biden selected Judge Jackson because he felt that she would be the easiest one to get confirmed.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I am truly humbled by the extraordinary honor of this nomination.
Someone who doesn't have a long paper trail, doesn't have a lot of controversial opinions, but that does not mean, however, that Republicans should not examine her record. We should, they should, because that's exactly what they're supposed to do in the Senate's role of advise and consent.
Ronald Reagan was very open about the fact that he wanted to put a woman on the court, and he did. Donald Trump was very open about the fact that he wanted to put a woman on the court. Saying, I want to have diversity on the court is typical. Joe Biden said that he wanted that, and indeed, that's what happened. We're ready to let our senators know we want this to be a fair process. I don't want to hear about what happened in another nomination process. I want to talk about this judge and what's going to happen to her.
If Judge Jackson went to a party, I don't care. I don't think most people care. If Judge Jackson dated someone, you know, as long as, you know, that's not something that's relevant. President Obama was the head of the Harvard Law Review. That gave the foundation a basis for his legal perspective on things. And so what classes did you take? Did you have certain experiences shape your legal philosophy? Did you work at a law firm that specialized in this or that? And if there's nothing there, let her answer that and explain it to the Senate.
Every nominee where the person was a woman of color have really faced extra scrutiny. You know, people making nasty comments about them, trying to say that they're not qualified, highlighting small things, trying to make bigger things of them. Really, I think selling the American...
Yes, sir, yes, sir. It's your boy Spitty, here from DGB, aka Dirty Glove Bastards, Off the Porch Podcast. Now, if you're a fan of artist interviews, then make sure to check out and subscribe to Off the Porch, a show that interviews everybody from the dopest up-and-coming artists, your favorite OGs and legends, street comedians, directors, and other influential people from the culture. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by Creator.
Making people short, thinking that they can be tricked. But we're prepared for that. Black women all over this nation, within the legal profession, outside of the legal profession, we are prepared. Down to your churches. We know we will not always agree with everything that she says or does, because that's the case with any justice.
I think it's unfair for the community, the culture, to put undue burdens on Black people in office because they want them to do certain things that their job does not call for them to do. I worked for 4 years in the White House for President George W. Bush, and at that time, Condoleezza Rice was the Secretary of State. Many people in the Black press would be very critical of Secretary Rice. Her issues that she was supposed to deal with on a daily basis were global issues, issues of national security and a humanitarian crisis across the whole world. Now, it didn't mean that she didn't have an opinion, things that she thought based upon her worldview, being a Black woman born in the segregated South, and grew up in Alabama and had a very close history with the civil rights movement growing up. So she would give that private consultation to the President of the United States when he asked. That's why representation is important. That's why I think that there's an adage I heard some years back that says if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
As much as it might be intimidating at first to show up in these spaces, I think it's important because it kind of showcases who you are. and you want to show up as your true self so that not only are you accepted by your colleagues, but in some ways it impacts how you move and how you exist. And not just to people in your office, but I mean sometimes like to your community.
I know that there's a viewpoint, especially amongst young people, that they keep voting, they keep coming out, and yet they don't see results. And so yes, I can understand people feeling like it's not getting done, but give it time and go out and vote in the midterms. If you don't like it, you know what you gotta do. You have to create greater margins for whatever party you are supporting, but you do have to vote.
And to discuss the significance of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination and the unique responsibility of Black political officials within the culture, we have attorney and law school coach Jasmine Robinson, political contributor and host of Straight Shot No Chaser podcast, Teslin Figueroa, and Newsweek contributor and business consultant, Denise Long. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. First off, let's discuss the significance of the nomination itself. If confirmed, Judge Jackson would be the first Black woman and the first former public defender to serve on the highest court in the land. What could that mean for the perspective of the court?
I myself personally am ecstatic about having a public defender, even more so than just a Black woman, and being proud about being a Black woman. I'm very much interested in the actual core of her record. All of these things will be discussed in great detail during her confirmation hearing.
Being in the spotlight means that her past decisions are coming to light. A racial discrimination case against the firm Lockheed Martin, which denied victims a $22 million payout and has been criticized for upholding the status quo at the expense of people of color.
And I think it's really important for folks to know that this was a class action settlement, which means that the business, Lockheed Martin, had gone through the process and they decided that it was best to settle. What they needed Judge Jackson to do was to certify the class as well as the settlement. What she instead chose to do is to unilaterally litigate the settlement and apply her own preferences and druthers to it. The reality is it may have been unfair to her, but the people who brought the claim deemed it fair enough to bring it to the court to have it addressed. So it was an injustice in many ways for her to make that decision, and it baffles me to this day.
What about you, Jasmine?
You know, there is the conversation about the Lockheed case. You know, if you really dive into it, she had to make a decision as a judge. And it was, again, it was a procedural decision. And it's like, before we even understand the case, it's just, oh, she ain't for Black people. Again, we're talking about one case out of all her record. I see it all the time on my social media. Anytime I hype up a Black woman specifically, it's automatically, well, everybody that's your skin folk ain't your kin folk. Why is that the automatic notion? Again, we're talking about one case out of all her record.
So, Counselor, that's where you give them the information. You educate them on it. You say you don't like her, I'm going to tell you why it's important to have a first-time public defender. We need to be in the discipline of asking these questions.
And Denise, you wanted to also jump in as well?
Yeah, so in regard to the Lockheed Martin case, many folks, myself included, read front to back her judgment in her own words of what she did. I went and consulted several lawyers who handle class action lawsuits, and what they said is that she did a thing that she did not have to do. So my concern there was the extent to which this person takes an academic, this is how I think it should be, approach to legal matters which affect people's quality of life and well-being. And many attorneys and judges would say the same thing.
When it comes to the unique responsibility of Black politicians, do they bear the responsibility of walking the walk in all those needs? Is that realistic?
Yeah, so being an elected official is pressure driven, and anyone who seeks that role needs to understand that and be equipped to manage it, whatever your role. So while one might say that you're not the president of Black people or the VP for Black people, the reality is you are. You're for Black people. And so one has to find a way, a language, right, to hook the needs of Black Americans into the needs of larger America and speak truth to power. And if you're making sense, you're making sense. And the people who want to hear sense making in America and get away from the polarization of our population, which I think is the vast majority of people, regardless of race. They will see the truth in what you speak. So it's a choice in many ways, a potentially costly choice. But what has selling out gotten us so far?
And in situations where those needs are not met, does it create an apathy in politics and voting, Teslin?
Absolutely, it does. There's something called voter depression, where people have apathy, where they feel they have given up. So when you look at this year and you look at the policies that were clear and asked of this administration, delivering directly to Black people, let me follow up exactly on what Denise said. Joe Biden said, quote and unquote, Black people, I owe you. He did not talk about Black and brown. He did not talk about everyone else. He clearly said, Black people, I owe you.
When it comes to this historic nomination, what pressure comes with that when it comes to meeting or falling short of those expectations? I want to go to you first.
The pressure that's put on the Black woman, it kind of annoys me, if I'm being honest with you. I just wish the pressure, I'm not saying we shouldn't have pressure. Everyone should be held to a standard. A lot of the issues we're debating right now, from civil rights to abortion rights, why are we still here? I feel as if we put the same pressure on a lot of other mediocre folks, we would have been a lot farther.
Denise, do you want to respond to that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are ways that we imagine Black women bring a unique lens to whatever problem they are solving, whatever solution they are developing, right? That is the point of diversity. It's not just the presence of Blackness. You know, I think one of the things that we need to do as Black people is to move in all political spaces, meaning that I move toward the policies that make the most moral, ethical, social, political sense to me. So we need to be in all spaces, and we need to rid ourselves of the idea that we need to be married to the Democrats because they've delivered very little in return for that relationship.
What do you say to the criticism that leaders have to put the white majority at ease to get things done? Teslin?
This is not any new criticism, not even about criticism, it's just flat out facts. We saw President Biden be very clear in the State of the Union saying, fund them, fund them, fund them. When just last year I was in the room when he called the George Floyd family and volunteered a promise to be able to pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. So it's that type of hoodwink, bamboozle, and switch, bait and switch, that we continue to see that, yes, like we talked about earlier, this generation has noticed the difference.
Do you feel it's more difficult for any political figure, Democrat or Republican, to make meaningful changes for Black Americans, given our history in this country that other special groups that are also marginalized may not go through?
Yeah, so I think there are some ways that Black Americans have given up our self-advocacy. We have advocated for every group. It's not to say that those things aren't important, that they're not real lived experience, but they are not the lived experience of the people who built this country, whose bones are buried in its soil. So there are some ways in which we have to make it clear that there is a unique Black experience and we want to claim it, including SCOTUS and its decision on affirmative action and what they need to land on there. So it's not difficult as much as maybe they're even confused by what it is we even want, because we have been confused thus far. So we need to get clear so they can get clear.
Thank you, ladies, for being here, for your perspective, your political insight, and also for your honesty. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is time to highlight our revolutionary of the week and the work of Illinois Representative Bobby Rush, the man who made it his mission to see the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill pass. And this week, it became a reality.
The Senate unanimously passed the law late Monday in this divisive political climate. That means all 100 senators agreed to it. This comes after a stunning at least 200 efforts to pass some version of this bill over the past 100 years.
Representative Rush spearheaded the final push for the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill. And on March 8th, the Senate passed the act finally designating lynching as a federal hate crime.
If there's no further debate, questions on passage of the bill. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is passed. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you to all of our colleagues.
The bill is named for the Black teenager who was lynched in Mississippi back in 1955 and will head to President Joe Biden's desk for signature.
Yes, Naima, job well done, Representative Rush, for your revolutionary work. That does it for us. Don't forget to subscribe to the Revolt Black News YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Snap for all the latest.
Thank you all for joining us. See you next time.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.